Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Kent Boxberger, who is the author of Change Your Life in 1 Hour. So that sounds like a good thing to be able to do, especially these days. And Kent's going to tell us how to do that. Welcome, Kent. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Susan. It's good to be with you again on the show.
Yeah, we did a show back for your first book. What was it? What was the name of that book?
Accelerating Your Spirituality.
That's right. Well, that was a very good book. I enjoyed that a lot. Kent's been involved in spiritual, growth for a while, but from a corporate standpoint. In other words, what you can do in your workplace since you spend so much of your time there, how these principles apply to work, and he's expanded this in this book for just about everything, your financial health, relationships, changing things that you want to change. So what are the principles that you've discovered that had you write the book?
Well, Susan, it's kind of interesting. We spend so much time, people spend so much time on looking for ways to improve their life, to expand, to grow, to find ways to do what I call the top three things, to improve their health, to have better health, to improve their bank account, to increase more money flow into their life, as well as develop their relationships. And really all those I call those the top three things. And in those top three things come a lot of other subtopics. But from a business standpoint, we spend so much time of our time in the corporate world, so to speak. Our world revolves around business, making money, earning money, attracting money. And we can't get away from it. It's the thing that stares us in the face every day because our world goes around with that. So in the last 4 years particularly, that's been in our face. The economy, the worldwide economy has created a scenario where we're all taking a look at ourselves very deeply. You know, what we want in life, how we're getting it. What do we need to change in our life to get the things that we want? And so it really trickles into our business life, because we spend a lot of time in our business life, and people sometimes want to separate the two. Even corporations today are really taking a long look at the work-life balance. What are we doing to stay healthy? What are we doing to feel better so that we can be more productive and be more creative in our life, to be more of a boost, to be more of a an addition to society rather than a drain. So the idea here is that we can change things in our life. And I talk to people all the time, and they say, well, you know, I really need a change in my life. I need to change things. But sometimes we get stuck and we don't know where to go. So that's what this book is about, is to give hints and ideas on how to effectively do that and do it in somewhat of a short period of time, because all of us really want to get on with our life. We don't want to wait around very long. We really want to move forward.
Yeah, it seems like there are lessons that we have here, and a lot of times we don't get the lessons right. And when we don't get the lessons right, things are held up for us to change things. One example of this is when Pluto moved into Capricorn in September of 2008, on the very day it moved into it, we had the economic, the beginning of the economic crisis with the stock market drop. And if you look back, this whole thing occurred because there was so much hanky-panky going on within the financial world, people not being responsible, people taking advantage of others, hiding things. And when Pluto moves into a sign, then things come forward, things come out, you know, things are corrected. So when I was reading your book, I began to think about, well, you know, since this is a school we're in and we don't always get it right, then things can slow down because we have to make changes in order to get things back on track. And that is in your book. That idea is in your book. So sometimes things happen, you know, just because we're not doing it right. And if we continue to do it wrong, we'll go even deeper into trouble. And, you know, you don't really get away with doing it wrong. I mean, it is a school and things correct. So, you know, so your book is a good guide on how to reevaluate what you've been doing and then project a different thought pattern to change it to a different pattern. So you won't keep getting more in trouble in the wrong energy.
Yeah, it's nice that you mentioned the astrology piece of it because although, you know, the planets and their movement in the heavens don't force us to do anything, they do shift energies that create in us movement within us. And they create movement within groups, the masses of people. For instance, the moon, when it shifts every month, it affects the tides on this planet. The tides roll in and roll out based on the energy of the pull of the moon. Well, they do the same thing to us as well. But really the idea is that the movement of the planets, I've found, really moves us individually and collectively into greater well-being. What may seem like many times a very challenging situation is nothing more than kind of an energetic move within us to go to a new level, to move to a new level. Sometimes those changes may seem painful, but the pain is really a matter of perspective because what it does is it causes us to shift. And so within the worldwide movement of people, this economic thing we've been staring at the last 4 years, like you mentioned, when Pluto moved, it brought to our awareness, the collective awareness, that there need to be some changes. There needs to be some destruction of old patterns, some old ways that aren't serving us anymore, not only with the collective, but personally. So it's forced us all to take a look at ourselves, our systems, the way we do things, our political systems, our leaders, our businesses, our corporations. And as a result, we've seen massive changes. And it's really forced humankind to really look deep within themselves to say, you know, what am I really doing here? What's the point? What's the purpose in my life? Am I just here to run to work every day on an 8-to-5 job and slave through the day and put in my time and then, you know, get back in my car and drive home and go through the motions? Or is there more to this? Is there something I'm missing here? And like you said, you know, it's really helped us to learn more about ourselves. You know, what can we do? And the economic side of things gets our attention. The money gets our attention because we all need that in this system to function. And so the astrology part of it is really kind of, it helps us reflect on how the energy of the universe is working. And it's always working in behalf of our favor. Sometimes we just don't see it that way. We just don't see it that way.
Well, some of the interesting things about spirituality is that if you are able to get to a point through spiritual practices where you can get more in tune with your intuition, and I think you do a great job in your book of putting the quotes in there and show how important intuition and spiritual principles are to the people very, very successful in business. So this is not something you should just, you know, say is not important, because it just, you know, you pointed out that Bill Gates and Steve Jobs didn't have degrees, but yet if you read their biographies and understand what made them tick, you'll see they're both extremely intuitive. And in fact, I think Bill Gates was a little jealous of Steve Jobs' intuition, because Steve was a practicing Buddhist and meditated all the time, and that really helped him stay centered. And these are the principles that of the really successful people in life. I mean, this is probably the core principle that they follow. And so it is very important if you want success or if you want to follow your purpose, even find your purpose, you need to understand the principles in your book.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that every human being is a spiritual person within themselves. And every one of us is designed with spirituality at our core. And spirituality, I'm talking about the invisible, non-physical part of us that exists. It's our soul. It's what mm-hmm. makes us tick. We were born with it. So when we get in touch with that, when we find a way to get inside of ourselves and really tap into who we really are, what happens is we suddenly have realizations in our day-to-day living that guide us along our path. And our path is merely, it's personal. So Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, I mean, you can go down the list of great, great people that have made significant contributions on this planet. JFK, I mean, you can go back and you'll always find that all of them were human beings and all of them found a way to tap into who they really were at significant times in their life. And because of that, great creative ideas came about. So when we as individuals are looking for a change in our life, we're looking for something different. We're feeling like things need to move and they're not moving, or we have ideas that can't get off the ground, or we feel stuck, or we think that the universe or God is working against us. It's not cooperating with us in some fashion. All that is really is our own soul saying to ourselves, look, you know, you're feeling like there needs to be something different. And actually, it's a calling. It's a calling of the soul. It's like it's saying, you know, there's more to your life that you need to take a look at. And that intuition comes into play when we kind of calm ourselves and learn to rely on our hearts, learn to rely on what's calling us. And as Abraham Hicks says, you know, which I use their information deeply because I found it to be a very, very reliable source of true information for me. But Abraham says that you can never get it wrong in life and you can never get it done. And what she means is that we're constantly growing, we're constantly moving, and the only way that we can really change things in our life is to take a shot at it sometimes, is to move towards, even if it logically doesn't make sense sometimes. Our intuitive sense knows really what it's doing, even if our brain doesn't. So we got to trust our feelings. And Steve Jobs was really a person who found a way to follow his feelings, even if the whole world didn't believe him. I'm sitting here talking to you on an iPhone because Steve Jobs one day intuitively tapped into himself and created this great instrument that we all use called the iPhone and the iPad. And look what it's become now. It's become a way of life for the masses, all because he took the time to find a way to tap into his creative potential. And he really didn't listen to anyone else. He really didn't follow anyone else. Mm-hmm. He really followed himself. And that's what all of us really have to find a way to do, is follow ourselves.
Yeah, so in order to do that, I think your book points out that you need to understand the principles on which things work. I mean, there is this reality we live in has certain rules, and you and I were talking the other day about what Donald Trump actually told you at a dinner about the secret of his success, because you're not going to go that far in life just thinking about yourself, just thinking about what you want. Tell the listeners what Donald told you.
Well, the interesting thing is that at our core, all of us, every human being, innately wants to help others. It's in our core. We really do. Even, you know, sometimes we see people in great need. For instance, they lack enough food to keep going. They just barely make it. We see third world countries that are struggling. But in the bottom of all of us, in our soul, we're created with the need to help others. It's just in us. But the fallacy in that we found, and we see this, we've seen it ever since this planet has humans, is that somehow we've been taught and society has taught us and led us down this road that we have to give up who we are or what we are in order to help others. And there's a fallacy in that. The fallacy is that we don't have to do that. In fact, it's completely the opposite. We're created to take care of ourselves first. Our self comes first. Warren Buffett made the statement, you can't give anything away that you don't already have. So in other words, we have to work on ourselves in order to help others. And so we all want to do that. We're in this together. We're helping each other move forward in so many ways. So, but the rule that exists in the universe is that you can't do it until you do it to yourself. You can't help anybody until you help yourself. And so one of the things that Donald Trump relayed to me, which was, it's actually in his first book, he said, look, you know, there's one premise that I base everything off of, and that is you really have to find a way to help others. But if you give people, this is the quote, if you give people more than they ask for, you'll always, always get more back in return than you expected. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody asks you for a penny, give them a dime. When somebody asks you for a cheeseburger, give them a steak. When somebody asks you for 5 minutes of your time, give them 15 minutes of your time. In other words, do more than they expect if you're able to do that. And that, and just the mindset of that, just having the mindset or the attitude of that changes the dynamics of your life. It changes it. Because just think, if everyone had that dynamic in them, had that attitude, we would be, it's kind of like the pay it forward principle,
mm-hmm.
where we feel so appreciative of what we've gotten that we want to give more away than we absolutely can. And so mm-hmm. everybody wins.
Yeah, we had an interesting thing happen here at Plasticos. You know, we've had various plastic surgeons here, and some of the plastic surgeons didn't have any problem with this principle. They knew they really couldn't give anything away that wouldn't come back to them later. And other plastic surgeons here had this other attitude, the opposite of it, which is, I don't want to give anything away for free because, you know, I deserve to be paid for everything I do. And so we were asked, the company was asked by the head of plastic surgery at a certain hospital to go back and find out how much money we had lost at a particular emergency room. And so we had a number of plastic surgeons, and two of us were very much not worrying about it. You know, we just went in, did our job. We didn't even really, it didn't even register with us if the patient was going to pay or not. And the other two were counting every penny, you know, and really getting upset if they had to do a lot of work. Guess what the results of that survey was? It was really interesting. The two that didn't care hardly had any free things. I mean, maybe $50,000 in a year or something. Really nothing compared to the volume of work we do. And the other ones had, like, you know, almost 50% of what they did for free. So this is a little example to me that if you really don't understand the rules of the universe, and that's that you really can't give anything away, I mean, it comes back to you. And then if you refuse to give things away of your own free will, it creates another dynamic so that you have to give more of what you don't want, or you get more of what you don't want. So isn't that an interesting example?
That is a really good example. And, you know, talking about surgeons and people in a technical scenario, most people have the idea, well, you know, surgeons and doctors, you know, they just make so much money, they should be able to, you know, to just give anything away. But the principle in the universe is this. It's very simple. Don't do anything that takes you out of balance. In other words, if something doesn't feel good to you when you're giving something away, whether you're giving it away or not giving it away, or however you decide to do that, if it doesn't feel right to you, in other words, your feeling center, your intuition about that, then don't do it. If it feels good to you and it feels right, even if logically sometimes it doesn't make any sense, or perhaps the dots don't, you know, line up, still, if you feel right about it, it's okay. There's a reason why you feel the way you feel. So the principle in the universe that works in terms of giving and receiving is that don't do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable. If it doesn't feel good to you, don't do it. And don't base what decision you make off of anyone else's perspective. It's only your perspective that counts. So if you feel like giving away $50,000 to somebody and it feels good, go ahead and do it. If it does, if you don't feel like giving anybody a penny, then don't go ahead and do it. So, because there's always a reason why you feel the way you feel, and it's
right.
It's impossible for anyone else outside of you to really know the truth of what that decision is. And if everyone learns to follow their feeling center, then it all works out.
Yeah, I think that's very good point. That if you're, well, first of all, you should never make a decision, be it in business or in your personal life, that when you're depressed or when you're in a bad state of mind or when you're pressured for time. You know how salespeople try to pressure you for time sometimes and it's not good. You know, you shouldn't do any of that when you're a lower energy state. And then when you get to a good energy state and you feel good, then you need to feel both ways. Feel how it feels doing one way and feel the other way. And if you can really concentrate on the feelings based on a decision you haven't made yet, I think that that's really the one of the best things that you can do.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's a very, very important principle. And that is people sometimes make decisions in what's called an out-of-the-vortex circumstance. In other words, we're making the decision based out of fear.
And that's not good.
and when we're making those decisions, because this law of attraction that exists in the universe, which says everything like itself is attracted to itself, means that if we're making the decision out of fear, we're going to attract more of that to us, more of that fear. And so sometimes people, we don't understand even what we're doing sometimes, but the rule of thumb, the simple rule of thumb here that I've found is that if you're making a decision and you're doing it out of fear or you're doing it out of panic or you're doing it out of a very uncentered place. In other words, you feel rushed, you feel anxious, you feel like I've got to do this or, you know, things aren't going to work out for me, then really it's time to back off from that and be patient, to sit back and wait a little while until you can get your bearings, until you can really get back in your center. Because when you do that, your decision has a way of changing itself. The dynamics change. And you're making that decision from the core of your soul rather than outside of the core of your soul. When we make decisions that we feel like when we're in the core of our soul, the way we know that they're correct or they're right on or they're going to benefit us is that it feels, we feel inspired, we feel driven, we feel positive, we feel good about it. We kind of actually know, we know that the decision is good. Even if we can't add it all up, we just feel like we know that. That's the difference. And when we find that magic of doing that, we'll make more decisions and better decisions. It's interesting, there's an interesting quote that Donald Trump makes, and I go back to Donald Trump because I read all his books, and I really admire the guy. He's one of my mentors. But he makes this quote, and he says, always make decisions from your heart And you're going to make mistakes in life, even when you make decisions from your heart. The difference is you're going to make less bad decisions than you would if you weren't going from your heart. So in other words, follow your intuition. You're going to make some mistakes, but you're not going to make as many because you're following your heart. And that's been a real strong driving force in decision-making, is the idea that, you know, we're not going to get them all right. In fact, we can't even classify them as right. All of our decisions are right. They just sometimes don't line up with our expectations. And there's usually a reason why they don't.
Yeah, the one of my favorite people to interview is Michael Rice, who studies the ancient Aramaic. And, in fact, he translated the Beatitudes directly from the ancient Aramaic directly into English, and they are completely different than what people think they are. I mean, it's really neat because Jesus taught in the language of physics, which was the ancient Aramaic. So in the ancient Aramaic, sin is an archery term that means to miss the mark. So what that means is you're not going to hell because of a sin. In other words, the universe will always give you another opportunity to shoot straighter. So if you miss the mark, there's no point in putting the energy in regret and all of the negative emotions associated with failure. Instead, you need to refocus because another opportunity is coming around to you. So you need to refocus and get things straight and get your intuition, working. And then you can make the mark. And if you study the great people, Disney, Donald Trump, any of the great leaders in our society have had highs and lows. I mean, Walt Disney ended up mortgaging his house because he lost so much money, and had that gone under, then he would have lost his house and lost everything. But it didn't. You know, he turned it around right before he lost everything. And then Donald Trump really didn't lose. I mean, did lose everything. He was how many billion dollars in debt was he?
Yeah, $8 billion.
$8 billion.
Yeah.
So, you know, turning that around, that required a great lesson. I mean, a great lesson. I bet he was really focused when he did that. So understand how the world works. If you have a failure and then just end up giving up and, you know, just, turning to drugs or alcohol and feeling sorry for yourself, that's really not the way you're supposed to play the game.
Yeah.
Didn't get you very far.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things I highlight in the book is that, you know, what we sometimes perceive as failures aren't really failures at all. It's really our perspective of a failure that we have. And when we do things like you talk about sin and missing the mark and all those things that we perceive as something bad or failure or we didn't do it right. Really, the truth is, in the universe, for every human being, it's not that we did anything wrong, so to speak. It's just that we didn't line up with our core values in our soul. In other words, we found a way to think, act, or do things that weren't really who we were, but we didn't recognize it. And so once we recognize that that's not really what we wanted, or that's not really what we intended or expected, then it forces us to take a little bit deeper look at ourselves and say, well, what is it that I really do want here? What is it that I really am looking for here? What is it about me that I need to change perspective or thought? In other words, without the things that we call failures, we never get to the things that we call successes. And they sharpen each other. And so that's the journey of life, is along the way, it's perspective. It's seeing ourselves and saying, you know what, I really didn't like what I did there. I didn't like what I said, or I didn't like the action that I took because it didn't give me the result I was looking for. And so because of that, I need to look at myself and say, you know, what is in my soul? What is in my vortex? What's there about me that I really need to start lining up with? Because whatever I did, said, or action I took didn't give me the result I was looking for. And so when we do that, what happens is we shift the circumstances in our life. And the book, Change Your Life in 1 Hour, is about shifting things in your life within 1 hour, and sooner, actually, so that the universe can respond to our shift in a way that more fully lines up with who we really are. And it can actually happen very rapidly. We're kind of in our minds, we've been taught and we've kind of trained ourselves to think that it takes a long, long time for things, especially major things, to change in our life. But the truth is that it's exactly the opposite. The universe is just waiting for us to line up with who we are so that it can deliver to us more of what we want. And the only factor that's in the way of that happening is not out there somewhere. It's not out in the world. It's not the people in the world. It's not the systems in the world. It's really us. We're in the way, personally. We're the ones that stand between us, what we want, and what we want to see happen in our lives. But we just don't realize our own power. And so it takes a little practice. This is something you can't do and learn to train yourself to do overnight. Now, changing your life can happen in an hour. This hour that we're having on the radio now, talking to one another, is perpetuating change. It's perpetuating change in my life. It's perpetuating change in your life and everyone that's listening. And the way it's perpetuating that change is we're coming to realizations as we do it. And as we have those realizations, the universe, the law of attraction, it's a law that says what you think about, you get. What you feel, you get. It brings more of that into our lives. And there's much, much more to that, and the book goes into that. But isn't it fun to talk and create as we go? Because that's what we're really born to do. It's just that we want to create more of what we want in our life rather than what we don't want.
Well, that's one of the spiritual principles, whatever your thought patterns are, that's what eventually manifests. Now, you know, we're in a time period where that was at a slower pace in the past. I mean, probably in our parents' time, it was pretty slow. In our time, it was faster. I mean, now it's faster than it was probably 100 years ago, just like everything's speeding up, even time's speeding up. But what's important for people to understand is that what's coming up at the end of December is probably going to speed it up even more. So now is the time that you want to understand the principles and start practicing them so that they're, you know, they're part of your subconscious, you know, way you do things, rather than, it's like riding a bicycle. The first couple of times you ride it, it's really hard, but then eventually you can ride it and not even think about riding it. So you need to practice these things now, because given what's coming later, on into 2013, we'll be creating at a much, much higher rate. And so those who are creating in the positive will create more and more and faster, but those who are creating in the negative will be spiraling down a lot faster too. So, you know, I think that you need to do this now so that you don't find yourself in a downward spiral going faster and faster.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because really, the masses of people, the human consciousness has called forth this speeded up time for a reason. We don't even know consciously. On most levels, people don't know how much power they have in this mass consciousness thinking on this planet. But the human family has called forth or has wanted more and more change, whether they consciously know it or not, they have. That's why technology, for instance, has raced ahead in the last 50 years in ways that the previous 50 years we couldn't have ever dreamed of. Mm-hmm. But so the human family, all of humanity, has mentally and soulfully called forth these changes. And right now, this speed up that you talk about is significant because we've all called for it. In other words, we've all wanted to become more powerful creators. We've all wanted to learn to really find the power that we truly have rather than being a robot on this planet as a human. And so the speed up in time, it's interesting. In the spiritual world, in the unseen world, there is no time. Time doesn't exist as we know it. But when you become human and you incarnate on this planet, all of a sudden you realize that we have this clock on the wall. Well, what's happening now is that the line between the clock on the wall and the spiritual unseen world that doesn't have any time, that veil is becoming thinner and thinner. In other words, we're starting to realize that we can be on this planet and yet the rules of time may not exist, because in the spiritual world they really don't. So if we learn to think of ourselves as an eternal being, in other words, we have no ending. There is no ending. We just go on and on and on and on. We just change form. Then while we're human, we begin to realize that our existence here is really a timeless venture. Really. So That's what's happening on the planet, is we're slowly realizing that we're all here with a clock on the wall, but the clock's really not there. And it appears to be a speed up when really we're just realizing our own power. We're realizing that we have the ability to tap into the unseen energetic world to help us get through or get along or enjoy our ride here as a human. And that's what's happening.
Well,
and we're going to be shot forward a little bit here in the next 30 to 60 days,
yeah.
I believe, in some ways that may not be as climactic as has been portrayed.
Mm-hmm. We hope
publicly.
Not. Especially
no,
the movie 2012.
That's
a pretty amazing movie.
I personally feel that it's really not playing out to the doom and gloom that we see it, because this planet has always taken care of itself and the universe has always taken care of itself and things have always worked out and well-being exists. But what's already happened in humans' consciousness around this subject of, you know, December 21st of 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar, what's played out about that already is that our human consciousness, people on this planet, have already been looking at their lives in such a deep manner because of this so-called event, that it's caused them to make changes in their lives and realize who they really are even more. So it's been a positive aspect, and it will continue to be a positive aspect.
Yeah, I still think the majority of people are not aware of really what this is about, though. I think they think that it's probably either isn't real, like, you know, there was a lot of people compare it to me to the hype around 2000, you know, Y2K. I think what people don't realize about Y2K is that there actually was a very serious problem in Russia with the computers that almost launched nuclear weapons. So, you know, they say Y2K didn't mean anything, but actually it might have meant a lot. You know, it almost caused a real serious problem. The bullets that didn't hit us, you know. So I think that, you know, some people may go through this coming up period and not realize what is really going on. But then when they, in 2013, find their lives spiraling out of control, they might have, you know, might, at least on Life Review, think, well, maybe I should have paid more attention, you know. It won't be something obvious, like, you know, something in your face, but it will be having to do with speeding up of the laws of creation, you know, speeding up of the timing of creation, not really the laws, but the timing. You create quicker. So it's a change in the matrix that we live in. And, you know, like say you're a fish in water and somebody changes the water somehow, you may not notice it right away. You might just find that it's harder to swim or something. And that's how I think you ought to think of it, that the matrix in which you live is going to shift. And
yes,
it's going to shift to a less dense form, less, more of what needs to come forth will come forth. In other words, things that were hidden will become non-hidden, you see?
Absolutely.
And that, yeah. And I'm all for that. I think that would be great.
That's the perspective. You know, if you look back at all these climactic events on this planet, going back to as far as you want to go, in every scenario, it's always moved us forward. It's always moved human consciousness forward. If you even go back to wars, as much as we don't want to look at those and we want to say, you know, those are terrible things, the fact is that all these things always move the human family, the human consciousness forward. Because the earth is nothing more than an airport. People come in and go out every day. They come in, they go out, And so, but along the way, what happens is the consciousness, the end result is that this planet is always taking care of itself. The people have always taken, we've always moved forward. So when these things come along, that these doom and gloom predictions that this is going to occur and that's going to occur, it's a matter of perspective, because if we stand back and go into our fear mode, which takes us out of our soul, and we fear changes, we fear what's going to happen that's so drastically bad, for instance, then guess what we keep creating in our life? We keep creating more of that, because the law of attraction brings us what we think about. So, but if you look at it and your perspective is, well, you know, some of these things may happen and some may not, and you know, I don't really know what's going to happen, and we don't know what predictions are going to come in place, because we never have been able to predict any of these things accurately anyway. It's never, these things have never been predicted completely accurately. They've never turned out to be the end of the world that everybody's always said. And this end of the world thing has always been something that people have feared and talked about as early as mankind's been here. But the truth is that if we look back at what's always happened, is that we've always moved forward. The earth has always moved to a better place. And so we go through those changes, and it moves, like you said, it moves our creative potential, it moves our consciousness, it moves us into new places that we weren't before. It causes us to think about ourselves, because in the end, really what it's all about is thinking about how we, as a human, can move our life to the next level. In fact, that's what I try to help people do. I do it for myself, but I also try to help others move to the next level in your life, whatever that level may be, because that's really what we're here for, each one of us. We're here to move to a new level, and that's what drives us. We all want to move forward. Just sometimes we get bogged down and we don't know exactly how to do that. We get stuck and we need a little help. And all the help is about finding what's in our vortex, what's in our soul. It's what's who we are, and finding out exactly what that is. And when we do that along the way, then things open up for us.
Yeah, I think what's coming up has been termed in some circles a graduation. So if that's the case, then it means it's the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. That's what graduations are. And what I hope to see is that the majority of people on Earth realize why they're here, what their soul purpose is, like you said, what's in their vortex. Because I believe if everybody follows their soul purpose and quits interfering with other people's in a negative way because they're greedy or trying to get power, that I think the planet will go toward that 1,000 years of peace that is talked about in the Bible and other religious texts. If everybody is following their purpose and doing what they're supposed to be doing and not doing what they're not supposed to be doing, I think this whole thing works perfectly well.
Well, absolutely, and that's innately all of us, whether we whether we're a murderer or whether we're the Dalai Lama or whether we're the most peaceful person we've ever met in our life, all of us have at our core, which we've been really created with, is a need for peace and a need for love and a desire to be worthy and to be valuable. And so people do things that you look at and you say, how could they do that? And you wonder, well, how could a person actually do what they did? We can look at Hitler, for instance, and say, well, how could a man like that destroy so many lives and kill so many people, and say, why would that person exist? And the answer is that that person was trying to find their way in life. They were trying to find who they were. And so they were searching. And, you know, sometimes we need help with that. And so we have to be patient with one another. And it's a very, very deep subject, and it's very hard to get our hands around, and it's very hard for us to understand it. But when we melt away all of the details, the point is that each one of us has to do one thing. We're created to do one thing, and that is we've got to find out who we are. We have to follow and find out what our core is, because each one of us is like a snowflake. We've been designed completely different than anyone else that's ever lived. And so we have to find out who that is, who's our imprint. And nobody can tell us what that is. That's the interesting part about it. No one on the planet can tell us exactly who we are, because we're the only ones that know. So it's a voyage of self-discovery. And like you said, when people start realizing more and more that at their core are really these things like love and peace and understanding and compassion and kindness, when we find those within ourselves, then we're very happy, even if it's for a moment. But we've been taught and we've learned that everyone else on the planet, everybody else around us, affects us. And the truth is, it appears that way, but in reality, it's really not that way. And that's what I think we're all trying to learn that. And it may take 1,000 years, it may take thousands and thousands and millions of years, but the point is that all of us are trying, and we're doing our best, and we're really trying to find who we are first, and then we can help others. And that's the goal. That's the target. Who am I? What do I like? What do I don't like? And I want to focus on the things that I like more than I want to focus on the things that I don't like. And when I do that, things have a way of working out for me. They just do. And they have a way of working out for everyone around me. It's just funny how that works.
That's true. Well, we're coming up at the end of the hour. Would you like to give some contact information?
Yes. You know, my website is very simple. It's my name. It's KentBoxberger.com, and that's spelled B-O-X-B-E-R-G-E-R. So it's Kent, K-E-N-T, Boxberger, B-O-X-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. You can go to the website. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn, so you can go there, and Twitter. And if you send me an email, I'll be happy to get back with you. If you can read what's on the website, it's very self-explanatory if it moves you. I work with businesses and individuals, so you can read my bio there. You can read testimonials. You can get all the information right there on the website. It's pretty easy to do, and take it from there. So I appreciate the time we've had today. Always enjoy talking with you, Susan. It's always a great conversation. You always stimulate lots and lots of thinking for me and others as well. And I think the show is a great, great avenue for people to tap into in order to help them learn more about themselves and how to improve their lives.
Well, before we wrap up, is there any message you'd like to give to people who are listening?
Well, you know, all of us want to change something in our life. We, you know, whether it's a small thing or whether it's a large thing, we may be facing huge problems that we seem like we can't overcome. They're insurmountable. They're bigger than we are. It could be a health issue. It could be a money issue. It could be a relationship issue. It could be our children or our family. It could be Even when we look at the world, we look at the economics or the political systems that we deal with, or it could be problems at work, or maybe we're out of a job and we're looking for work, or we're looking for something. All of us have things that we want to change in our life. And sometimes we don't want to tell anybody about it. We want to keep it to ourselves. We want to be secretive about it. We don't want anybody to know because we're embarrassed or we're shameful or we don't feel like that it would do any good. And the truth is, the message really is that there's nothing that we can't overcome. There's nothing. We're created to overcome everything in life. That's the interesting thing about it, is that we're here to overcome and to change things so that we get more of what we want in life. We're really born to have more fun in life. We're really here to experience more joy, not slugging through life, dragging these things around, torturing ourselves, thinking that we're a slave. We're really not here to do that. And so if you really feel in yourself deeply, you'll come to that acknowledgement that I'm really here to have more fun. I'm really here to enjoy myself. I'm really here to have more things in my life that make me feel good. And so when it comes to changing things in our lives, sometimes we need direction. We need some help. And we may not need a lot of it. We may just need to talk to somebody, or we may need to read something, or watch a movie, or watch a video. Or, in other words, if we keep asking for help to change, that help will show up. It may not show up in the way that we may think it does, but it always does. It may come from a neighbor. It may come from a TV program, a telephone call. It may come from the most crazy things that we never thought it would come from, but it will come. And the basis of that is just one simple thing. It's belief. You got to believe it. You got to stay on it. And when you believe, you make amazing things happen. The universe responds, and you're handed the answers in time. Sometimes the answers come in 5 minutes. Sometimes they take a week, maybe more. But if our desire is strong enough, and it really stems from that, then the answers that we want will come. And this world, this lifetime, has more to offer than we even scratch the surface of. There's more out there than we can even imagine for us. And that's the beauty of it, is that it never ends. So ask for help, look for help, and everything that you want to change your life will show up.
And I want to add one thing. See the perfection in everything. When I think things aren't happening fast enough, or that, you know, something isn't coming quick enough, and I ask about it, I find out why it's being delayed. And we talked about this the other night, too. Everything comes in its perfect time. Because if everything happened at once, you couldn't handle it. You know, you just couldn't. It would be impossible. So things have to come in the right order. I mean, you wouldn't want to, you know, have the baby first, then get married. That's not ideal, right? I mean, you know, a lot of people do it that way. But, you know, you want to meet the person, you know, get married, have the baby. You know, it's just an example. But the way things come to you in your life should be the way that is best for you. So you need to see that perfection. And I think a lot of us don't really look for that perfection.
That's a great point, because appreciating what you have right this red-hot moment is the most powerful thing that you can do, even though it doesn't seem like it, because our society is way, way overkilled in action rather than thought. And it's actually the opposite. Our thoughts, our feeling centers are way, way more powerful than our action-oriented life. Now, inspired action creates really, really good things. But action for the sake of action in our life, just because maybe we don't feel like things are working for us, never works out. We always get mediocre or less results. And what the universe wants to deliver, which proves your point that you just said, what the universe wants to deliver to us is our heart's desire. It wants to give us exactly what we're looking for rather than a mediocre or less than mediocre result. And most humans are used to a mediocre or less result in their life, and so they say, well, we end up unfulfilled. Like people that are in jobs they don't like. Look at the masses of people that work jobs every day. They think they have to go. They have to work at that lousy 9-to-5 bad commute drive because they think they have to do that. And the truth is they don't have to at all. In fact, they can begin a process which can actually morph very quickly into the job of their dreams, the career of their dreams. But they don't really realize that because they're action-oriented. So what you just said is true, and waiting on the universe to respond, to put things in order, is very difficult because most of us, you know, we're not patient people. We want it now.
Right.
We want it to happen now.
Right.
We want to see it now. And the truth is...
But there's process, and everything's linked. Everything's linked. Your financial,
absolutely,
your health, your relationships. There's webs back and forth between all of them. And they have to move forward at the correct rate, or something might rip out of your life. Like if you get the job of your dreams and you spend all your time doing it, you might lose your relationship, you see.
Well, sure. And absolutely, and really the beauty of it is, this is where, when we talked about earlier about how we feel about things is our indicator as to whether we're on the right track or not. It's not the logic. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. It's how do I feel about something? Because that feeling center that we have is our true indicator of where we're going and what we're doing. How do I feel about it? And so we kind of have to train ourselves to trust that. Trust it. And when we do that...
Well, Kent, we are at the end of our hour, so we have to go. But thanks so much for joining me today. It was great talking with you. I've been interviewing Kent Boxberger and his book, Change Your Life in 1 Hour, Find Your Purpose, Passion, Business, and Your Money. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Nancy Redstar, Star Ancestors, Extraterrestrial Contact, and the Native American Tradition. And then on the 8th, Ortiz, the Akashic Records, Sacred Wisdom for Transformation. Dr. Mike Greenberg is going to have his Millennium Healthcare Wellness event here on Tuesday at the Dunwoody office, November 27th at 7:15 p.m. He is talking about you can prevent dementia, neurological disorders of aging. Please, if you have any interest in the subject, please attend Dr. Mike's lecture. Kent, thanks again for joining us. This has been Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health. Join us next week.